going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again for WTF Prime Time. No, actually, we're not doing Prime Time this week. I fooled you. Ha 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 ha. This is Vangelis, and we are here for another installment of our annual, all caps, hold the shift key down, BotCon prep for BotCon 2012, 1 week before some of us already are going to be arriving in Dallas, Texas for the show. Joining me today is my usual BotCon prep buddy, Aaron.
Yeah, we're just sneaking it in here. Thank goodness we had a clip show.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean. Spoilers, huh? Also joining us is another one of our BotCon vets who will be there this year, Mr. Seth Buzzard.
Hey man, you totally freaked me out. I thought this was a prime time and I was not prepared. So I got really nervous.
I'm just fooling.
It's the one he was prepared for.
You just have to like check the Wikipedia page, you'd know everything that happened this week on prep.
Don't worry. I'll just bluff my way through.
Yeah, I love the part when that was good.
Doing that. No, that part with the when they transformed was awesome. Oh, when who transformed? So you know, that one part, that guy.
The Transformer.
The robot. When the robot turned into the other thing.
I also will mention that we were kind of thinking about, like, at least this is going through my head, like, do we really need to do another one of these? And then, like, I'm not lying. Like, I'm not going to over-exaggerate. A lot of people sent messages to not just me, but Aaron, saying, are you guys doing a BotCon prep this year? Like, yeah. A lot of people, compared to the usual number of people who send us messages about things. Like, people don't talk to us. We're kind of isolated out there. Mm. But all of a sudden, people want their BotCon prep, and it's like, boom, suddenly we have a million friends. Until we said we're doing it, then they stopped talking to us again.
Yeah, so, they just want and want and want and take and take and take.
Yeah. So right off the bat, I'm going to mention that if you do want to hear other BotCon preps, please, you know, do check them out. We might glaze over some stuff this time because it's our third one, I believe. If not, like, our... Yep. It's our third one, is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Supplemental 25 was BotCon 2010. Supplemental 33 was BotCon 2011.
Yeah, so do check those out as well if you feel that we did not cover some aspects that you'd like to have heard because this might be your first BotCon, because we most probably covered them there as well. But we are still going to see if we can blast through some good stuff and maybe answer a few questions that we've received as well, and share some wisdom with all of you younglings out there so we can have you become not just the apprentice but also the master of the Jedi ways. The first thing we're going to talk about actually is health and hygiene. Number one, I don't know if you can tell by the sound of my voice, but I am currently virulently sick with the flu. I caught the flu about 2 days ago, and if you tuned into any of our BotCon 2011 podcasts, you'll notice that I seem to have just got on that train early this year, because last year I caught the flu horribly while at BotCon. So this time I'm just getting it out of the way so I can get there and not have that burden on my shoulders, because I already have enough to do at the convention. But if you are a little under the weather going to BotCon, or you think you might have shaken hands with people who are under the weather, hand sanitizer is your best friend. It's actually your second best friend. Your first best friend is fist bumps, because those are a lot less germ contaminatory. But there are people who get very offended when they hold out their hand and you hold up a fist, because they think you're going to punch them. So, health-wise, you know, just wash your hands. Bring some hand sanitizer, and, you know, don't, like, lick people, because that's a good way to catch disease. I don't know. Do you guys agree? Am I off base here at all? Or?
Yeah, that's actually, if you read Penny Arcade, there have been a couple of very recent issues or comics relating to just that, of these guys that run conventions getting sick off of stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
It's not something to joke around with. And, I mean, for the most part, you know, 95% of people are going to be just fine, but if you're the one person that's giving everybody bro hugs and licking hands, then odds are you very well may be spreading disease.
Yeah, please try to avoid licking hands, because, you know, it's number one, no one thinks it's cool. Like, as much as you might want to, hey, I'm going to do that thing, and everyone's going to remember, no one's going to forget me, we'll definitely not remember your name. We'll just remember you as the guy who licked hands. So,
Yes, I believe the PAX thing is supposed to be the enforcer where you cross your arms across the chest as a greeting.
Some people got really mad at Will Wheaton over that.
Yeah, well.
Like, super mad. I'm not going to lie.
Well, and also with sneezing and coughing, as I just demonstrated, don't cough or sneeze into your hand.
Like, yeah.
Cough or sneeze into your shirt or into the crook of your arm. That way, if you do shake hands with people, you're not handing them a bunch of disease.
Yeah.
And if you are feeling under the weather and someone offers to shake your hand, just say, oh, I'm sorry, you don't want to shake my hand, I'm sick, and save everybody the trouble. Yeah. I did that last year because I got a little something, not as bad as Evangelist did, but I was definitely under the weather. And when I was talking to Michael McConaughey, he sticks his hand out for me to shake, and I'm like, dude, you don't want to do that. Yeah. And he was very grateful that I did not expose him. But last year was the only time I got sick at BotCon.
Something was wrong last year.
Well, I've caught stuff that kicked in like on the way home, like coming back from Florida, like on the plane, like just on the plane. I just was getting sicker and sicker. But
well, that's also a rough thing that always slightly makes me nervous of. We have a whole bunch of people in this pressurized tube for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can contract. So, yeah, if somebody doesn't want to shake your hand, don't take it personal.
And
they may be sick, or they may just be paranoid about it, and let them be paranoid about it.
The weird thing is, like, you saw me last BotCon, like, on Saturday night and whatever, when I was, like half unconscious in the panel rooms. Yeah. There were still some people who kind of offered to shake a hand, and I went, like, you really, really don't want to do that. Like, just look at me. Do you want to be this? No.
Yeah.
Like, no offense meant, but I will not be able to live with myself if I let you come in contact with my skin right now. So please shake that gentleman's hand instead. I didn't actually do that, but I should have.
Yeah. Well, it's easy for me because I'm not really into a lot of physical contact. Like, I'm infamous amongst my family to where I don't even like hugging. It's like, oh, okay. Like, I'll put up with it, but I'm really not interested. Like, I'm okay with a quick little wave. It's like, all
that's right. That's my problem. I'm a handshaker. Yeah. Like at the 80s Toy Expo. Someone told me that they even said, like, you really got to stop doing that so obviously. I was like, what? Like, that thing where you shake someone's hand and then wipe your hand off on the side of your coat. And I was like, well, what's the problem with that? Like, I don't want germs on me. They're like, yeah, but some people are going to see that and probably take it the wrong way. And I was like, well, have they been to a convention and gotten sick before? No. So yeah. What I got to do is...
I don't mind shaking hands, but I don't need a hug.
I got some of these like really tight like latex purple gloves for doing surgery. I'll just bring some of those and get all Howie Mandel. Just wear a rubber glove before I shake anyone's hand.
I'm going to drip candle wax onto my hand. Well, you shake with your right hand.
Hermetically sealed with pain.
Yeah. Well, I'm left-handed, so I figure I could wax up my right hand because I don't really need it that much.
Yeah, you don't use that.
Just for shaking. Well, anyway, that's
shaken and other things.
that's kind of the crux of the health part. The hygiene part is like we really don't need to go into it other than like just if you even get the temp all like it's what we say every year. There's always going to be the temptation when you wake up like an hour after your alarm clock and you're like, oh man, I might miss that panel. I got to get down there right now. You're going to get that temptation to just skip the shower and run downstairs. Don't give in to the temptation because you'll feel awful for the rest of the day. You're going to feel all scaly and greasy. Just take the 10 minutes. If you're late for the panel, you're still going to get in. I rarely have ever seen BotCon slam the door shut in someone's face on a panel. Like, aside from the Hasbro panel, they just don't seem to get that crowded.
Well, there's been a couple times in my years where I didn't shower immediately. Mm-hmm. Like when we had to get sent back down to the line last year.
Oh, yeah, that was emergency. That was an emergency situation.
But I got my stuff, came back, and by that time everybody else was awake and done with their shower, so I was just able to waltz right in and get it taken care of. But
you still took a shower for the rest of the day because like you guys have done it, right?
I didn't skip it for the whole day.
You've had that day where you didn't take a shower, and you know how it feels like halfway through the day, where you're like, it's 3 p.m., and I know I was just going to sit at home all day, but I got to do something about this. Like, it's just, it's unbearable. Yeah.
And the ref thing to also be aware of on the other side is there will be that one person that you find in the dealer room that fills up the dealer room with their brand, and it's part of convention going.
Yeah, everyone knows that the dude is there. I mean, yell about it once if you want, but, like, don't complain too much, because we all know, and we're all suffering with you, except for the guy with the gas mask on.
Yeah, and it almost seems like, though, it's complaining about the smelly person that doesn't shower at conventions is more of a cliche than smelly people that don't shower at conventions.
Yeah.
I've only a handful of times ever in all my years been around somebody where it's like, damn, bro.
Yeah.
It's at least in my experience, it's been pretty rare, but I mean, just getting that many people together in a room, which usually starts getting warm. And then, you know, maybe that dude doesn't stink. They just got gas and they're crop dusting the whole convention,
the whole dealer room.
Yeah. And, but just, you know, take care of your business.
Yeah.
Get one of those little travel size deodorants and
you'll feel better for the day if you've cleaned yourself up a little bit. Like, you'll have a better time. Don't even think about other people. We're just thinking about you, buddy. That's who we're caring about here. It's me and you. So that's the tried, tested, and true, beaten and dead topic out of the way. Let's go into some of the more fun stuff that doesn't involve, like, virulent infections and, like, stink. speaking of which.
I guess stank on it.
Yeah. One of the questions, I guess, for new people would be, you know, and this is, again, something we've covered before, but just in terms of planning out, you know, what you're going to do and how much money to bring, that's always a good one to drop. And every year we get a bit more experienced with it. As always, if you think you're going to be interested in the at show souvenirs, bring at least $300 with you. If not $400, just in case the prices go up again, and they might.
Again.
But, you know, $300 to $400 should make you absolutely safe for buying a couple things. If you think that you're going to want to buy more than just like three or four like prestige pieces, or, you know, just a whack of stuff, then the next level up from 300 to 400 is usually about $1,000. Like, generally, I find a lot of people who go to BotCon, whether or not they want to, due to the, you know, existence of credit cards and whatnot, often end up spending about $1,000 somehow. That's if you're a heavy toy buyer. If you're not a heavy toy buyer, you're probably going to cap out at 400 or 500 if you're going totally crazy. But that's usually the monetary amount to try to bring with you just for safety's sake.
And get the other tips. Go to your ATM at your bank in your town and get as much cash as you can.
Yeah, bring cash before you get on the plane or before you start your trip.
Because every ATM within walking distance from the hotel at some point during the weekend is going to be maxed out. And at some point during the weekend, it's probably going to be the person just before you in line.
Yep. It's happened to me several times. It's happened to friends of mine several times. Yeah. It's happened to you. it's just, if you can, like, especially if you're coming from out of country, like if you're in Canada, I know at least Royal Bank does this. There are Royal Bank machines that will provide you with American currency right out of the ATM. That's what I'm going to be doing. Just try to, and even if you're not, if you're from the States, still, wherever you live, get your cash there, or at least as much cash as you can there before you travel, just so it's one less thing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I usually start pulling money out a few days before, because a lot of banks have limits on how much you could pull from an ATM in a day. So, you know, grab a couple hundred one day, a couple hundred the next day, stack it up. And also consider how much you're going to be spending on food.
Yes.
Because that could become expensive. I don't know what the situation's like in that part of Dallas. At Pasadena, we've been incredibly fortunate to have that Gelson's Market, like right across the street.
Yeah.
And yeah, how great is that? Like, well, yeah, like those sandwiches were really good.
Oh, those were so good.
really affordable, and you could buy a bunch of food there and then get cash back at the register.
Yeah. And then conversely, in Disney World, a whole bunch of us got completely boned because we were stuck in Disney World and had to buy $30 meals every day.
Yeah, what was it, $17 hamburger?
Yeah, until we did our little road trip out to like Walmart, which was still, what was it, like a 20-30 minute drive away?
Yeah, because you had to get outside of Disney first.
Yeah, like I don't know how it is in Dallas. I'm sure it's not, like Dallas is not going to be Disney World at all, but still, like, get a lay of the land.
The Canadian slide guys found that gas station convenience store that they were walking back and forth from.
Hmm.
Buying beer.
That's what they do.
But, yeah, so hopefully there's at least some kind of convenience store nearby, because I found it's also, like, really cool to, especially if you have a fridge in your room, and it seems like most hotel rooms do have a little mini fridge.
Yeah.
Get, like, a bunch of whatever you like to drink. Bottled water, sodas, Gatorades, beers, whatever, and just throw them all in that little fridge. And so when you're hanging around your room or you're thirsty, like that six pack of Cokes you're gonna buy at a convenience store or a supermarket is gonna be way cheaper than any little snack thing that's set up nearby.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I remember specifically last year in Pasadena at that market, Monster energy drinks were $2 a can. But there was that little snack booth thing that outside that had like hot dogs and chips and whatnot, and they wanted $4 for a Monster.
Well, you remember in I think it's in
highway
08,
robbery
in 08, they had that little like popcorn and snack stand inside, right outside the dealer room.
Yeah,
like in convention hall snack people, like they're always going to be there, and they're always going to be the most expensive.
Right. Yeah, because the meals, I grabbed one of them last year, and I think it was like $10 or $8 for a hamburger that had everything on it. And I think it was like a bag of generic chips. And
that was like the food
Pepsi
court at New York Comic Con. The New York Comic Con food court was balls. It was like $5 a bottle of water. It was like $10 bagels or something. I was like, what?
But from the looks of it, within a couple blocks, there is quite a bit of food, including A&W, Chick-fil-A,
Filet Mignon?
No, there are a couple steakhouses that we're going to get you to.
Yeah, there's at least one steakhouse nearby. I think there's a barbecue place nearby.
Ooh.
I definitely want to hit up that barbecue place because, you know, if you're going to Texas,
you got to get some barbecue.
Yeah.
You got to get Texas style barbecue at least once. That's like going to New England and not getting seafood, which I wasn't able to do, because every time I try to organize people to go to a seafood place, when back home was in Providence, there would always be at least two people in the group that were like, I don't like seafood.
Oh,
like, all right.
What? I don't know. I definitely want to hit up a steakhouse in Texas, because I don't remember if I remember the last BotCon in Texas, I was in a huge rush, and I didn't really get to enjoy, like, Texas very much when I was there.
You mean unlike this year?
Exactly. Well, this year also, I think, like...
Well, this year, he's only in a big rush.
Yeah.
It's not a huge one. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Last time I was in Texas, I that was 06, right? I believe that I was, like... I was getting there on, like, the Friday, leaving on the Sunday. I left on the Sunday night. I remember that was the BotCon where I left on the Sunday night, and it sucked because I had to leave the hotel just when everyone was going to hang out in the bar. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll see you guys later. Bye-bye. And it was so depressing.
Yeah, but
quiet walk.
It is good that it looks like there's going to be a lot of food options at various price range within a block in any direction of the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is good, because, like, speaking of Rhode Island, I mean, that was so great having that mall attached to the hotel.
Yeah.
That had that big food court with a lot of cheap food options there.
Yeah.
And then a mob of restaurants around the outside and nearby.
Yeah.
That, so when it is lunchtime or dinner time and this giant mass of people are out looking for food. They're just not all crushing a handful of restaurants. Yeah. There's room for everybody to spread out.
And you're not going to, you're not going all like, let's go to the sushi place and having like $30 pieces of sushi.
That was good sushi though.
It was, but god damn.
Not for the wait and for the crash. I think we actually scared some people as it was like, yeah, we've got another 40 people coming. What? What?
Yeah, we just assumed that Disney World would have seating for 40 plus people.
Yeah.
Turns out they didn't.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, it, man, when you're headed off to like get some food, and as you're like, maybe it's just like you and three or four other people, and you're like, hey, let's go get something. Okay, let's go. And then on your way, you keep running into people.
Yeah.
Hey, where are you headed? Oh, let's get some food. Okay. Can we come? Yeah, I guess we're going to go get food. And then you get there and you turn around and now there's 15 of you.
Yeah.
For more. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Especially if you're going to a fast food place.
That many people.
Yeah. Like if you're going to like a, just like a food stand or a fast food place and you suddenly have a crowd of like 15 some people, it can get a bit tricky. Like, perfect example. Last year, I think I forgot how big our group was, but we like just ran headfirst like a bull charge into a hot dog stand and sold them out of like half their product.
Oh yeah.
And like those of us in the back, we got like, hey, everyone's having that bacon wrapped hot dog. Like, we don't have any more bacon because all those other people ate it. And they're like, oh, there's a convention across the street, right? Like, this is going to happen again.
Well, yeah, were they even ready the next time?
I don't know. But a hot dog cart's going to have a harder time dealing with a mob of people than McDonald's or Burger King. Like, that's kind of what they do, is crank out gnarliness.
But still, if you're going someplace and meeting with friends you haven't seen in a while, do you want to go to Burger King or McDonald's?
No, but like what I was trying to get at is going somewhere where you're going to be seated with menus and a wait staff. It's much more difficult to just show up with a mob of people.
Yeah.
Like I remember one night in Rhode Island where it was just that exact same situation. There, as we were going, the group became bigger and bigger, and we got to one place and we asked, can you seat this many people? And they were like, nope. And we were like, all right, we'll go to the place that we've been to three times already this weekend because they can.
That was actually something that, this isn't a BotCon, but I was just at MAGFest in January where a lot of the seating for food was pretty tiny, and all that happened basically was that everyone went like, all right, we're going to go get some food. And everyone's kind of went like, who wants to go where? And we kind of like, as much as we wanted to all hang out, it was like, well, some of us want to go here, some of us want to go there, and then a couple of us want to go to this third place. It actually made seating for eating a whole lot easier because it was like groups of like six.
Yeah.
That said, like, you know, definitely hook up with everyone that you want to meet up with. But yeah, it will be difficult, especially at a sit down eatery, like a fine restaurant. And they will also probably, they see that many people show up, they like group them all together and then drop the included gratuity on their heads as hard as you can.
Yeah. That's a good thing to bring up. Like,
I didn't even think of that point.
Check your bill out.
Yeah.
And look for that gratuity charge. If there's a thing in your bill that says gratuity, that means you do not need to leave a tip because that is the tip.
Yep. And
they put it in there ahead of time.
And when they see a huge group, when they see a huge group, there's a number of people at which point they can say, hey, guess what? You have like 12 people. We get to drop the automatic percentage of gratuity on you, but they will very quietly do it in the hopes that some people just automatically out of instinct drop a 10 on the table before they leave. And then, hey, that's a whole big lot of happy fine tipping. Well,
Alex Millen almost did that a couple years ago, and I just happened to be sitting next to him, and I saw that he was figuring the tip, and I said, hey, wait a minute, look at the bill, do you see something that says gratuity? And he goes, yeah, what is that? And I explained it, and he just went, America.
All right, so there we go, tip for the foreigners coming in, you know, or for folks who just haven't eaten out with a large group at a big restaurant before. It's something to know.
And if you see a group of people and they're headed to food and you ask if you could join in and everyone kind of goes, don't take it personal.
Right.
Because they're probably worried about that problem of not being able to get seated. And it's probably not you, it's just the situation.
And you'll probably come across like the three or four other people that weren't able to join up either and all go somewhere else yourselves. Like I have not quite the same thing, but I have at other BotCons seen it happen where there's a huge group and then eventually while everyone's trying to figure out what goes on, like four or five people go like, okay, listen, we're gonna go over here to this other place just so that it's not such a huge group and we'll see you guys later on in the lobby or at the bar or something. Like, don't feel like you have to stay in one unit. That's a very, like, it's not a bad thing. It is also, though, a very common convention newbie instinct.
It's definitely a comfort zone thing. And even, I mean, there'll be time, and it's just human nature, you know? You have your friends, the people that you know, and it just feels better to hang out with the people than you know that you don't. But it's just, you know, we're all here for these giant robot toys or fiction, so you know you could probably strike up a conversation with anybody on the convention floor or in one of those big gaggles and have something at least a little bit in common.
And going to eat isn't the only time you're going to hang out with people. Like I just said, you know, people are going to be at the bar later. I don't know what this hotel's like, but you know, if there is a sizable bar in the lobby of the hotel, it's probably going to be populated pretty much for the entire evening, so you know, don't fret it. People will be around. You'll find folks, especially if you are part of a huge forum like TFW 2005, that is, and this kind of moves into the socialization aspect, I think, that is a great way to, if you're at your first BotCon, that's a great way to get to know people at your first BotCon, because these enormous forums we have now, like TFW, like AllSpark, Sabertron, blah, 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 all these other huge forums, those are all ways.
I was wondering if you were going to name another one or just be like TFW or...
Like TFW or...
Other ones.
TFW.net. No, I mean, we all know all the big forum communities, and everyone who goes to a BotCon, I find a lot of people who go to a BotCon who are based out of the internet probably have at some point at least signed up for one of those forums and maybe made a post there. That is a great icebreaker to say, hey, I'm from this forum. It's very rare, I think I said this on another BotCon, it's very rare that you're going to say, hey, I post on this forum sometimes, and someone's going to be like, oh, well, I can't talk to you anymore.
Yeah,
there's been multiple times where I've just started, you know, chatting with somebody and then questioning, like, so are you from the boards? And they'll be like, yeah, sorta. I'm like, what do you mean? Well, I'm from this other board, so I guess that means you don't like me. And I'm like, why do people keep assuming this?
Yeah, it's stupid.
I assume right now that we have listeners that aren't on TFW and are on Cybertron or AllSpark or
I can't something think else. Of another one.
weren't there two AllSparks? Are there still two AllSparks?
Net and Com.
That was way back when that happened. Like the two AllSparks.
Yeah. Anyway,
BWTF. There's another.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're not from TFW and listening, I don't hate you because you're not from TFW.
Yeah, like this is something that like it's not as bad as it used to be, but there was a period where people legitimately thought like your board was like your gang and you had to like stay within your, like they got all literally got all like Jets and Sharks or all like Capulets and whatever the other family was, because I didn't read that play for
Montagues.
Thank you. I haven't read that play in a long time.
I always wanted it to be like the Jets and the Sharks because I just wanted people dancing at each other.
That'd be amazing.
Finger snapping.
We tried that when they had that dance party thing at that one BotCon, and that didn't happen. So
nobody understood, weird. And there was a lot of confusion.
That was a strange little dance party that they had at that one BotCon. That was weird.
Yeah, that was so weird. It was so weird.
It was a very awkward, awkward little room to be in.
It's just a bunch of nerds dancing to an 80s cover band.
Yeah.
It was so weird. But, I don't hate you because you're from another board. I might hate you, but not because you're from another board.
Yeah.
It'll be a better board neutral. Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't let websites dictate how you treat people at a convention. It's completely ludicrous. Just like go and talk to folks that you recognize or talk to folks who seem interesting. Like the whole thing about socialization at a convention, and this is primarily for folks going to their first one, there's just a few ways that will make it work out well. And I think that to me, the cardinal rule of socializing with people at a somewhat internet-based nerdy convention, like people you've never met before, is just be chill. Like, that's the best way to do it. Like, I'm not going to say everyone's got to be the coolest guy on the block with all the gel in their hair and the cool car and the leather jacket and whatever. But, like, you've just got, just be chill. Like, don't, like, be passionate, be excited to be there. But, you know, just kind of, just stay chill. Because the one thing that people find most off-putting is when someone is nerve-wracking to be around.
Yeah. Be yourself and be cool, and others will be as well.
Yeah. Like, you know, just talk to folks. If folks are going places, if you want to tag along, you can always ask. Sometimes folks might go like, well, we're actually, like, it's like when we go to record a podcast, like, if people are like, hey, can I tag along? We kind of go like, well, we're actually going to go record a podcast, and we prefer to keep it just down to the podcasters, but we'll be back down in the lobby later. Like, you know, that's, yeah. That's, we're like, we've never had someone go like, oh, well, I guess they hate me. Or at least we never had someone like yell it like that. But that's just ask if you want to hang out with folks, just ask them. And worst case, they might say, hey, we're actually kind of busy, or hey, we already had something planned with some folks. But if like three or four dudes aren't available to hang out and you post on a large message board, there are probably like 50 to 60 other people from that message board who all want to find someone else to talk to and hang out with. So
yeah, I actually just got a Facebook notification about the TFW meetup.
I didn't, so apparently I'm not invited. Wow, thanks, guys. I'll just...
No.
No, it's fine. I must not have
been supposed to tell you.
It's fine. I got Kleenex. You know, I'm sick. It's okay.
Don't want your diseases anyway.
I'll show up at the party and just cough in someone's face.
Just remember what Bill and Ted used to say. Be excellent to each other.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. That's the key to socializing in a convention. Do unto others and be chill.
That's... And also Wheaton's Law.
Yes.
I always forget Wheaton's Law.
Don't be a dick.
Oh. Well, yeah, that'll help. That will definitely help. Like,
and actually, Evangelist, you were invited. I see you right here.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I didn't get an email about it.
Well, maybe you should pay attention while you're supposed to be recording a podcast.
That's just a whole... Oh, hey, Colin Douglas invited me to the Friday. It's in my email right here. Well, it was when we started recording. There's no way I could have known about that.
And also Godwin's Law.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't
bring up the Nazis, especially in Texas. Not to beat down a stereotype, but, you know, I have had lots of people over the years always go like, so when you're going down to the States, right, you don't... Wow. Apparently the police here found out I'm going to the States. Thanks.
It's over. Game over, man.
I've always had people go like, when you go to the States, especially Texas, man, just keep it cool. Don't set anyone off. They might shoot you. It's like, just don't bring up topics that, you know, people will get uncomfortable about, unless you're trying to make people uncomfortable, in which case Wheaton's Law, you know, don't be a dick.
The only kind of people that would shoot you are kind of people that you're probably not going to encounter anyway, because
right.
They're in areas that you're not heading into.
That's good to know.
And most of the people, like, you know, like, people get silly about regions and different parts of the country and different parts of the world, and everyone has their hang-ups and stereotypes and whatnot. And there were some people that were like, oh, I guess I'm not going to BotCon because there's no way I'm setting foot in Texas. I hate Texas.
Americans are saying that?
Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are Americans who are Texasist? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, there are Americans that are stupid. I've encountered
lots of people that are uptight about Californians.
Man. So.
Well, I mean, that's all true. That's all truth, but...
That's the thing I'm never going to get about the States. I guess because, like, up here, we just have, like, a couple provinces, and we have, like, jokes about each one, but we don't really care about them that much.
Like, well, and I figure, like, hey, you're going to be spending virtually all of your time in a small area where the vast majority of the people there are not going to be from that place. So you're hardly going to encounter anybody from where you don't like. But yeah, like at the, what was it, 09 Pasadena?
Mm-hmm.
While we were there, a dude was complaining about what he referred to as the People's Republic of California.
He didn't
like our sales tax rate. And it's like, well, why don't you go back to where you came from then, if it's such a problem?
Man. Up here in Canada, we just have to think about Alberta, because Alberta, like, classically, Alberta had, like, less tax than everywhere else. So we always, like, would gang up in Alberta going, like, so what's it like not paying taxes on stuff, you bunch of bastards? And then we just, you know, realize that we also all go to Alberta because their drinking age was a year younger than everywhere else.
That's how aggro Canadians get.
Hey, you have slightly lower taxes than I do.
You bastards.
Well, that would be like me getting mad at Oregon because they don't have a sales tax at all.
Do you get mad at Oregon because they don't have a sales tax? No. Oh, okay. Well,
they're too far away for me to worry about. Well, they're one state to the north, but California is a long state, so. It's not like I'm encountering Oregon people a lot. Man, this is kind of a tangent, but I go to Lake Shasta every year, and we're fishing and we're trolling, so we're just kind of cruising along slow. And we pass this group of people, and this one dude is hooting and hollering, swimming in the lake, about how Californians need wetsuits because the water is so cold, and California is a bunch of pussies, and Oregon is way better. Mm-hmm. And I started getting like my local pride up, and I just yelled out across the lake at them, like, "Well, why don't you go back to Oregon then, you soggy bastard? You are in a lake, and it's the driest you've ever been." And then we started trolling a little bit faster, but you know, they didn't shoot. They didn't shoot us, so.
Yeah, see, here when you said trolling, I thought you were talking about for fish, not people.
It turned into that.
When you're at a convention, it's actually very rare that anyone gets shot. So yeah. Just to dispel that rumor.
And most people who might be talking tough aren't tough in person.
No, they aren't.
As soon as they get confronted, then they don't know what to do. Like this goon in the lake. As soon as I yelled at him, he dummied up and didn't say. And we were outnumbered like 3-1. So,
yeah,
and their boat was way faster than ours.
Like there are some crazy stories that get around. Like, is either last year or the year before when a whole like I know that I did, and at least a couple other people had to tell someone like, no, TFW did not get into a gang fist fight with Sabertron and Allspark.
Oh yeah, the infamous rumble. Down.
Yeah,
like, that we supposedly had.
I can't believe you guys got in a fist fight with. I was like, I got in a what?
In Kentucky.
Is in Kentucky.
Yeah, that's where that big fist fight, where the brawl happened.
The most famous brawl that never happened. That's
yeah,
one of those
they didn't
other
have
stories.
To bring in police and pull anybody apart or nothing.
No, the closest I've seen violence-wise at a BotCon was way, way back before I was legal American drinking age, when me and Vector Sigma and someone else from Europe were all angrily sitting around going, like, we're able to drink in our own countries. This is a bunch of bullcrap. We looked over the balcony, and there were people having Jedi lightsaber fights in the lobby, and they were totally beating each other with lightsabers.
OTFCC03.
Yeah. That's the most violence I've ever seen at a BotCon, other than the time a dude took a hunger in the face that got thrown out to the crowd.
Well, there was the dude that ran up to Tricky Disco, pissed at her, and then ran away.
That was
the fight in Kentucky.
Oh, that
I believe
was,
is the
was that the rumble
is the origin of the incident.
Is that where I totally like punched out three dudes and got a bloody
you,
lip?
You had a trident.
Oh man, I love my trident. That's how I own fools. I'm the king of the sea. I can talk to fish.
So, I bear hugged Super Megatron from behind and lifted him off his feet, causing him to spill half of one of the beers he was holding. That was sort of violent.
It's a good thing he was probably holding two others, so.
In his forearms.
Yeah, so if whatever message board you're on, if somebody is getting all uptight and being like, if I see this person at BotCon, they're not going to do anything.
No,
introduce yourself politely and watch confusion happen and then be friendly.
Yeah, and also there are BotCon staff standing by every door. They're not going to stand there watching two guys punching each other in the face, you know, because there are local news organizations that get invited to these things. They don't want dudes having fist fights out in the carpet. You know, they're going to go like, well, at least take it to the boiler room if you have to do that. Have a boiler room brawl.
Yeah.
Meet me out by the dumpsters.
No, because that's where the third-party sales are going to be this year. I mean...
So, moving into out of socialization and into dealer room and dealer room practices.
Third-party bare-knuckle boxing out by the dumpsters.
About third-party toys. Number one, you probably won't find any in the dealer room. But number two, I have heard from more than one direction that there are going to be more than one parts parties, quote-unquote, in hotel rooms at which tons of third-party toys will be sold. All you have to do is check with some of your favorite retailers, like, well, there's always Megamus's Parts Party. I have heard, I believe Captured Prey have been tweeting about having a parts party. There's going to be lots of third-party toys, just not in the dealer room.
Also, in the main hotel, there will be a board up that at least will have mention of other parts parties. I don't know how well they police them, but that may be a place to go and look and see where things are going down.
That's also a place to check about convention toys if you, for some reason, are in the convention but didn't actually get any of the toys and are looking for a couple of them. You can probably put up a notice on there saying, hey, I'm looking for Shattered Glass, like, whatever, Soundwave, and I'm looking for the Overlord. I will buy them from you. Then someone might, like, stick another sticky note on there going, like, why? And then you can, like, because I want them, and then you have, like, a conversation with Post-it notes. Anyway,
like a, it's like a really a bulletin slow board. Version of Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every couple hours, slap another Post-it note on there. So the bulletin board is a very useful tool, especially that one time when someone said, where's the TFW 2005 room orgy? And
yeah.
No one knew who put that there, and we were all kind of wigged out.
Well, Aaron, you just said you don't know how much they police parts parties. Can they at all?
No, I meant just the bulletin board to if somebody was like, hey, third party parts party in room 227, if they're going to come. See, that's what I don't know, because those boards are controlled.
They couldn't go to the room. What they might do, and I wouldn't be surprised
if it
happens,
note off.
Yeah, just rip the note off the thing. Like, they might do that. Like, if you literally...
Just to be dicks.
If you literally go up there saying, I have fans project toys in room 333, they might rip that off, because that's really unsubtle.
Yeah. Well, then they're breaking Wheaton's law.
That too.
Yeah. Well... there's been plenty said on that topic. I'll not continue.
Well, what we're trying to say is, don't go to BotCon expecting to see a dealer room full of third-party toys, because it won't be there. But if you do really want third-party toys in person, they will probably be there in some form or another. But as far as like official toys go, dealer room will probably have some dudes selling whatever the newest Prime toys are for well over retail. Probably have, at this point, some pretty affordable loose Unicron trilogy and possibly animated, probably really dirt cheap loose movie toys. That was the thing I noticed at the, 80s Toy Expo, the other weekend. Loose Beast toys, I think, are still a thing. G1 Vintage is 90% of the time going to kind of suck if it's anything like the last couple years. We're still riding off the movie wave, which means that a lot of stuff in the BotCon dealer room is, it's not so much that it's more expensive than eBay. It's that it's more expensive enough than eBay to not even kind of be like, I'm paying an extra like $20 to get it in person.
Yeah. It's starting to get some nostalgia drive behind it.
Yeah. So, you know, have a couple grails, have a shopping list, but especially if you're in the States and you have a smartphone, remember you can always data check eBay like while you're standing in the dealer room. Granted, you probably don't want to like whip out your phone and like hold up a hand at the dealer's face, like, hang on, I'm checking eBay. Because like that'd be kind of a breaking of Wheaton's law.
Right. If you're gonna do that, that before you start. Yeah.
You check in, you're like really loudly, hey, your prices are more expensive than this auction. I'm not buying this from you, sir. You put the toy down.
And I will say that's something I've not tried before, but might be a valid way to get a dealer to move a little bit on his price. If you can show him a comparable. Now, granted, he very well may turn around and tell you, well, then go ahead and buy it from this unknown person in an unknown state on eBay.
Yeah.
But For haggling's sake, that may not be bad, especially if it's a drastic difference. If you're trying to get $5 on a dude, just say, hey, can you knock $5 off this price?
I would still advise at least feel out the personality of the dealer, though, before you do that.
There's always that.
Because that I think, is probably the pushing haggling to its greatest limit to start citing off a phone to the dealer. And about haggling, this is something that also is... something that a lot of folks new to BotCon are always curious about. Everyone's open to haggling, but much like socializing, be cool about it. Don't get angry. Don't get aggro, because there's no way that's going to make a dude want to do business with you. Likewise, if you're a dealer, we've said this before, the dealers that we never want to buy from are the guys that we hear about who flipped out over someone haggling and they got all up in that dude's face. That makes that guy tell us, if he's a buddy of ours, and then we all go like, well, we're not going to go to that table because that guy sounds like a D-I-C-K, which means dick.
Yeah. But if we want to talk haggling, the easiest points are bundling sales to get some off. You know, if you're going to buy two or three things from the guy, do it all at once. You know, hey, you've got this headmaster I'm looking for, and I see over there you've got a target master I was kind of looking at. You know, for the two of them together, you're saying you want 150. Could you do 130? And he may come back and say, no, but I can do 140. And then, hey, you saved yourself $10 on stuff that you were thinking about getting. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to go a little bit bold with it. I mean, if they're saying 150, don't walk up and go 75, because he's going to go, no. But if it's 150 and you walk up and you say something like 130, then you're in a range that at least there's a discussion there. And so you may end up, you know, it may end up being 140 and you saved off of what he was saying, but not trying to go super aggro with it. And you're and less likely to be able to haggle on Friday as you would be on Sunday. Come Sunday, it's whatever you can get rid of.
Yeah, and to kind of play off what you were saying there, like, kind of have an idea what you're willing to pay. Like, let's say, excuse me, let's say they're at 150, and, you know, you're the most you're willing to spend is 140. Like, make your opening offer lower than that, but not stupid low, like Aaron was saying. And then allow them to work toward what you're really willing to spend.
Right.
And don't just be like, 125, and that's it. Because then they're probably going to be like, well, I guess that's it then. And then, then it's immediately over. Trades can also happen. I traded some stuff last year. And that was a long negotiation. Like, they wanted the thing that I had. I wanted stuff that they had. And it was just a back and forth until we agreed on what I was going to walk away with. And it was stuff like, oh, what about this and this and this? And they went, no, that's too much. What about this and this? And I go, that's not enough. What about this and this and this thing that's not in a box? And then they went, what about this and this and the thing that's not in the box? And
see, okay, now I'm intrigued by what this deal really was. Was there any exchange of children at the end of this? It sounded like it was intense.
No, it was when I won that Vector Sigma.
Yeah.
I traded it for a bunch of 3A stuff.
Oh, that was a good trade you pulled off. I remember that. That was a sweet deal. I was jealous.
And another thing about dealers is realize that a majority of the dealers that are going to be there are just dudes. They're not, I mean, there are going to be the businesses that are there, and they will be very clearly businesses, but there are going to be a lot of guys that are just selling their collection, or, you know, this is just something that they do in order to pay their own way into BotCon. So if they say, no, man, I got to have this, then no, man, he's got to have that. Or on the flip side, that may well make him more receptive to haggling or working together to come towards something, because he's a fan too. And odds are he's, you know, it's not like the convention to convention sales of used toys is a terrible moneymaker. He's in it because he wants to be in it.
Yeah. A lot of dealers are actual people. And, I know that there are folks that, like, I'm not one of these people, so it is kind of a foreign viewpoint to me, but there are folks who think of businesses as that thing that I try to use and abuse and twist and grind under my heel to get what I want, and that will not fly in a dealer room at a convention. Not just BotCon, but any dealer room, because a lot of those folks are just dudes selling stuff. It's not a store. If anything, it's more like a garage sale on a grand scale. Like, if you're going to pull a metaphor for it. And speaking of dealer room stuff and money on toys, another interesting topic to go into, one that I actually had a listener question about from Pacifist Prime, is the convention toys. Now, if you are going to BotCon and you paid a pre-reg. You hopefully got the Primus package because whatever it's called, the other one, Protoform. Yeah, the $150 one kind of sucks for being still $150. So ideally, you're gonna have a box set. You probably are going to end up buying a souvenir toy, because even the people who don't want them often end up buying at least one of them because there's some figure amongst them that someone wants. But most folks who are not, you know, completely nutcase completists like me, most of those folks end up with a bunch of BotCon toys they don't want that they can get rid of. Now, in years past, the easy way to do that used to be to go to Big Bad Toy Store and flip your box, but they're not there anymore. And I found in years past, it's getting harder and harder to flip your box set in the dealer room.
Yeah.
So the question I got from Pacifist Prime was actually from the vantage point of someone not going to BotCon. So I guess maybe we'll cover that first. But if someone wants to get one of the convention toys, and, you know, they see the initial rush of convention toys hitting eBay for this year, specifically Pacifist Prime, I believe, said he's after the Overlord figure. Now, should he go for the first Overlord that he sees on eBay, or should he wait? Because...
hell no.
With BotCon toys, there's always two directions they go. They will always sell for a decent amount the day of the convention. Mm-hmm. Then they either plummet or they soar. That's pretty much how it tends to go. Like,
yeah.
And there's a couple of them that stay in the medium, but often, especially box set toys, they will either plummet or soar. So yeah. The question is, will Overlord be something that he will regret not buying right away, like Darkseid Megatron, or will it be something that he might be able to get an even better deal on later on, like Flak?
I have the feeling that this year, between everything that's happened with the club that has kept them from having the sales up for all the time, and the apparent... lack of sellout of the set. BotCon has said that it's their best-selling set yet, which hopefully means very high production numbers.
That's what I took it
on
as.
Top of everything else. But it appears that there are going to be extras to be had. Now, I don't know if there's going to be enough for them to warrant putting it up on the store or not, but because of that, it makes me think that this year's box set are going to be easier to come by than previous years.
What was the last year to have the set go up on the store? Was it 2010? Did those sell out as well, or did some of those go up on the store? Because I think this year, given that they haven't announced a sellout, there is a decent chance that the box set and or even loose sets may actually just go up for sale on the store, which will be the most cost-effective way to get them.
Because it's been... the 05 set is the one that was... around forever.
That's when they made too many. They literally made too many. Yeah, I mean, it's tricky to say. With Overlord,
I gotta sit here and think about it.
Out of the box set figures, Overlord is the one that I've seen the most buzz for. Because he's of the ones in the box set, he seems to be the most interesting. Like, regardless of how you feel about the actual figure, the concept is the most interesting of all of them because he's Overlord. Yeah. And regardless of how the figure turned out, he does have a nice color palette, and there are folks who just want him not for being Overlord, but for being that toy in those colors. Mm-hmm. So, that's one where maybe you'll want to make a judgment call. Like, it's a Voyager BotCon toy, so I'd say the average price for him will probably be around 50 to 75-ish on the low end.
Well, and I've also got to think it's going to be a little tougher to get individual figures from the box set. Because I'm going to be looking to sell my box set, but I do not want to go through the hassle of splitting it up and finding five or six different buyers. Like, I just want to sell the whole thing.
Yeah.
And my expectation of what I'm going to get for it is much lower than it has been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to find a buyer for it at the convention.
Yeah.
Like, the easiest would be somebody there. Just make the deal, be done with it. Everybody goes their separate ways. Fine. If I have to sell it online, I'm hopefully going to find a buyer before the end of the convention so I could ship it from there, because I don't want to bring it home. Because I'm not going to be able to bring it home on the plane because I don't have... I do not check luggage. Like, if it's not going to fit in a carry-on, then it's going to have to get mailed home. Yeah. And I don't want to mail something home that I don't want to keep.
Yeah. Like, then all that hassle.
in years past, when I got bag sets and the like, I did have a deal that, you know, and some others may as well, of, hey, if you buy this at the buy it now price, which is slightly crazy, at the convention, I'd throw in free shipping or things like that to try and incentivize. And and I know I've seen that in the past, that, hey, if you hit it now, then it'll ship from the show floor and yada yada. So if you really feel like you gotta have it, then I can understand that, because I've made plenty of those purchases. But like I said, my gut feel would be to hold off on your purchases until a week or two after the convention. Because then that first, oh my God, I must have it now wave will be through. And then it'll be everything that was relisted after that, as everybody's trying to figure out auctions, and you might be able to slip in a bottom barrel price.
Yeah, if it's one of the figures from the, especially if it's one of the figures from the box set, like if it was one of the souvenir figures you're after, then maybe consider looking at it early, just because those are more difficult to get a hold of by nature. Right. But if it's one of the box set figures, and especially with this year being one where the buzz is not as psychotic as it was for last year, I think that you're going to be safe not diving straight into the secondary market. It's doubly so with the lack of a sellout. Like, you can probably wait quite a while before and get a feel for the prices.
I don't know so much about waiting for a box set figure personally, just because I think there's going to be fewer people interested in breaking sets up. That's I mean, there true. Are going to be some people that only want a couple of the figures from the set and will be looking to sell the rest. And then, some people who want to keep the box and also got a bag set that will be interested in splitting it up. But I think individuals are going to be harder to come by.
Maybe something to look into then is start a forum on your favorite, or start a thread on your favorite forum saying, hey, I'm looking for this, and you might find somebody that's going to the convention trying to part something out. Or, you know, once you know what the two packs are, invariably, you know, I hear this at the convention every year. Oh man, I really like toy A out of that bag, but not toy B. And he's somebody else saying, oh, I really like toy B, but who would want toy A? And it's like, well, there's a match made right there, you know, to partner up and get stuff on the cheap.
And Funpub are geniuses at pairing those figures up in ways that always bums you out. Like, man, why couldn't these two be together? Because these are the two I want. Damn it. Now I have this stupid Galvatron helicopter.
Wubba, wubba,
damn
wubba,
it,
wubba.
Now I have Cindersaur.
I like Cindersaur, but
I'm
from
a special
class of people, I admit.
Look, there's times where things are so dumb that they become lovable. Cindersaur is just dumb. I can't stand that thing.
I will mention, he is one of the few BotCon toys I've seen sell for less than $20. So
I'll give you $20 to take mine away.
Really?
No.
So that's some dealer room stuff for, let's see, we've covered third party, we've covered vintage, BotCon toys, non-transformers. There'll be some non-transformers, but don't expect anything in particular. Like, there will probably be one table that has some Solo Chogokins, maybe a couple Solo Chogokins. Other transforming Revel toy Tux. Lines may show up. There's always a dude with Star Wars toys. There's always dudes with G.I. Joes. But
Marvel,
Marvel and Reveltech as well. Like, the staples of any given big online store will probably be there in some form or another, but particularly with Big Bad Toy Store no longer in the picture, it's not quite as obvious what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it used to be whatever Big Bad Toy Store just got in, they'd probably have at the show.
Right.
Now that they're not there, I've noticed in years past, we still get a lot of that stuff, but I find it's a lot harder to predict.
Well, that was, and even, you know, you don't know who that's local to the Dallas area may show up with, because with Pasadena, we had that import shop that had Figuarts and had a whole bunch of things like that.
Doesn't Pasadena have those guys with the Korean toys too? Like the Brave toys?
Yeah, because that's where you got that whole whack of Brave, wasn't it?
Yeah. So for non-Transformers, like, they'll be there. It's not like those are going to get policed against, I hope. But
I think, wasn't there something in the past where some tables got a talking to.
Yeah, about not having a high enough percentage. They were required to have a certain percentage of Transformers product that has since turned into sci-fi product.
Yeah.
Because supposedly what part of the falling out is, and granted this is fifth hand, I think I heard it from a guy type of information, where Big Bad supposedly got a talking to at one point about not having enough Transformers merchandise on their table on Sunday after everybody had bought all their Transformers merchandise. And not saying that that is true or false, but that is something that could potentially have fallen into it, because I know that a couple of years that they were there, come Sunday, they were pulling out
cases of
rough stuff.
And they had like no Sunday would be they'd have like the one import Transformer nobody wanted, and then like a wall of like Super Sentai and Soul of Chogokin and all this other stuff. So, and on the bright side, I have also found that when you're looking for non-Transformer stuff, that is some of the best haggling and some of the best deals you can make on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because that's the stuff that a lot of dealers have the least hope of selling, and that they, and especially some of that import stuff. If they have Soul of Chogokins kicking around on Sunday, they really don't want to take those home. So sometimes you can swing. Like, I remember, this was Big Bad Toy Store, granted, but I remember in, I think, 07, I got a Soul of Chogokin King Joe from Big Bad Toy Store for, like, something under $50. Totally worth it.
Well, I think in simpler terms, there might be non-Transformer stuff that you're into there, but don't count on it.
Yeah.
Don't try and budget for it. If it happens, it's going to happen. If it doesn't, then you'd be better off spending your money on the stuff that you can probably only get there or readily get there.
Yeah, and
it's a nice surprise to find the table that has Dirty Deeds Birdies.
That was crazy.
Or that one dude who had a bunch of Reveltech stuff.
Yeah.
At some of the cheapest prices ever. And, like, I remember Gog Dog and I forget his TFW name now, Michael. They got those J-Hoodies from Zone of the Enders.
Oh, yeah.
At, like, for, like, $30-$35. And they couldn't believe their fortune. So... And you might even, if you do find tables with non-Transformer stuff, those might be the most intelligently awesome price things in the whole dealer room, because they know there's a lesser chance that somebody's going to come along wanting those.
Yeah. And, I was about to go somewhere with this now. I completely blanked because I looked at a blog.
Damn blogs. Something about J-Hoodies?
No, I was looking at 3A's blog because they're putting out another Real Steel toy.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Oh, right. I remember the point I wanted to make. I know that it will end up being a good deal for some people. It like for Canadians, sometimes these prices end up being a decent deal because they're more or less our retail prices. But try not to succumb to the paying the crazier markups for new toys. Because that's something I see people do all the time, and especially when I see people from America doing it, I always sit there chewing my finger going like back in the day, alternators would show up in the dealer room marked up. I think alternators, what they were, like, were they $20 or $30 in the States?
20.
Yeah, they're $20 in the States. I'd see an alternator for $30 and I'd jump on it, and people would be like, why? And I'd go like, because that's pretty much cheaper than Canadian retail. So sometimes it'll work out. Like the Voyager prices, always. Deluxe prices nowadays, very close. A lot of more low-end dealer markups end up working out for Canadians still. But don't pay $45 for Voyagers. Don't pay $25-$30 for Deluxes if they're brand new. Because, especially if you're from the States, it's a hype thing. It's real easy to get sucked into it. And if you do, you know, no offense and no harm towards you. But you know, always stop and, like, and I'm just saying this because it sucks when you drop like $150 on product that is like less than a week old. And you're like, I got all the new stuff. Yeah. And then you see some really cool, quirky stuff that you're only going to see a buck on. And you just dropped all of your funds on stuff you might have been able to find at Walmart over the next 4 months.
Right. And, we found it at the show or at the local Target or whatever, where they were charging. What was it? That, Laserbeak. There were people wanting $25-$30 for Laserbeak because he was the hot new thing, and we walked the 3 blocks to Target or whatever, 5 blocks to Target, and it was there for $11.
Yeah, it seems like every year there's the wave that is just hitting, and it hasn't gotten to your town yet, and it's there at the convention, and people are charging an arm and a leg for it because they know it's the newest thing, and most right. people haven't even seen it yet. And man, just like, how much of a bummer is it when you cave in and you pay all that extra to get it right then and there, and then a month later it's a peg warmer
right
in your local town, and it's like, wow, I could have totally waited 3 weeks or less and gotten it for retail instead of double or triple.
Yeah,
like what was it, the 07 BotCon, like the very first movie toys were just sort of getting out.
Mm-hmm.
and there were some dumb prices I saw there. Like, there was that Target exclusive Optimus Prime,
the RoboVision,
that one table, yeah, that right. one table was selling for like $75.
Yeah. And people were buying it at $75.
I saw it at the 80s Toy Expo 2 weekends ago. People still have those. They can't get rid of them. I remember BotCon 09 with the, what was it? The Fallen and Mixmaster. Those were like the ones that were going for balls crazy nuts.
Yeah.
And those are actually the ones that I always remember as being the $45 Voyagers. What's another good example? Laserbeak is a great example. Almost by proxy, because of the way he was being sold, I remember Nitro Bumblebee was attached to either Laserbeak or some other new Dark of the Moon toy.
Yeah.
And briefly was a hot item as well, because everyone was trying to get at everything. And they're like, hey, Nitro Bumblebee, everyone's getting that. Now it's sold out from the maybe we should get that from the club. And it was like,
whatever, Transformers Animated Wave 2.
Oh, Ratchet and Black Arachnia.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Those were crazy. And then we did that drive around and hit up local Kmarts and came back with enough for everybody.
Except for me.
Well, you didn't ask.
I always remember. Yeah. That guy really likes animated. Does he want? Nah.
The club table had Laserbeak bundled with the deluxe movie Starscream.
Okay.
Which had been out for a while.
Yeah.
But I never got it. So I was like, eh.
Yeah.
I'll get Laserbeak now. And then, you know, everyone was like, I don't know, I guess it's okay. And then we saw the movie, and everyone was like, I gotta get a Laserbeak. And I was like, yeah, why didn't you listen to me when I was saying it was cool?
That's another thing to talk about. The club store itself.
Listen to me. That's something to talk about.
Yeah, always listen to Seth.
Because I'm like the Fonz. I know what's cool.
The club themselves, Fun Pub, have a table where they sell the souvenir toys, but they also often have a pretty huge docket of Hasbro provisions to sell as well. And they are actually a decent place to check out for new product, because I remember last BotCon, I got all of the Human Alliance basics that were new, like the helicopter and the motorcycle.
Yeah.
And I got them for like, I think like maybe $10, whatever they were charging for Human Alliance basics. And as far as I know, I was the only person at the entire convention I knew who actually got them. And it's only because I looked over the edge of the table and saw them lying on the floor. And I was like, can I buy those? And I was like, sure. If you are looking for new stuff, the club store sometimes can have some pretty decent deals for stuff if you haven't found it locally. But they also will bundle a lot of stuff together, particularly hot items, because I think it's a reaction to when they had Mixmasters and the Fallens. Dudes went in there and bought all the Mixmasters and the Fallens and then marked them up to $45 and flipped them in BotCon's own dealer room.
Right.
I remember Scout Windcharger was a great example where he was basically $30, came bundled with a whole bunch of scouts everyone else already had. So there was the whole question of like, do I do it or not?
Yeah.
Also, this has been biting me in the butt. I should probably mention, if you have a credit card, there are some dealers who take credit cards. FunPub does take credit cards. A while ago, I did say they're probably the safest place to use your credit card. We all know how that turned out. So what I'm going to say is...
Well, they do take credit cards.
They have changed their security system, so there is no reason to think that it is now unsafe to use a credit card with them, given that they've gone through all this. Personally, I'm still a little bit wigged out and probably won't. But having thought about it, it is probably not an inherently huge risk. However, I would not blame you if you were to exercise some caution in using a credit card at all at the convention.
Right.
Not just because of the FunPub thing, but of all the data thefts that have happened over the last couple of years. I am now thoroughly wigged out about using a credit card at a convention. Like, I might do it sometime, but it's no longer feeling like, oh, yeah, that's the safe thing to do here, well, especially with these guys. Like,
if you have the option, there have been dealers in the past that will take PayPal. Since it's true. A nice mobile-connected world, I've done that before with dealers. I've said, you know, hey, I really want this, but I only have, you know, I don't have enough cash on hand. Will you take PayPal? And they'll kind of hem and haul, and you're like, look, I can, you know, have money to you securely that we don't have to pay taxes on, and have it, you know, you'll have an email in 30 seconds from the time that I hit send if... you know, the wireless is worth anything or cell phone coverage is worth anything and get this taken care of. And if you state it like that, I don't think there are going to be many dealers out there that are going to say, no, I'm not, I do not want to sell you this product right now. You know, you just, but again, there may be dealers that don't want to do that because they don't like PayPal, which that's perfectly understandable for some people that have had issues with them in the past.
Yeah. And I mean, hopefully eventually we're going to move into a new era where, because I know there are alternatives to PayPal now, thanks to my bringing it up earlier. A lot of people on Twitter told me there's a lot of other stuff, like Amazon Checkout, which Kickstarter uses, Google Checkout, whatever it's called.
I've actually seen something recently where there's a company that may have been started with a Kickstarter, I want to say, that is a card reader that plugs into the top of an iPhone or an Android phone or iPad.
Been around for a while.
Has it? I've recently seen a renewed interest in it, where it's an app that has a credit card reader and it's a point of sale whole vending unit thing, and so they can just hand you their phone or iPad or whatever and swipe your card, and then you sign it with your finger, and that's just the same as if you had swiped it at any other place.
Yeah, at this anime con I went to in San Francisco a couple months ago, I wasn't even looking for it, just casually walking around and noticing, I saw at least three dealers there using those deals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, it's something that is a possibility, but not having seen it before at our corner of the convention world, I wouldn't say, yeah, everybody's going to have that.
No. I mean, the PayPal thing is still not all that common, but
right.
I just love to see more options be available. Cash is always going to be your best bet. If you can just carry fistfuls of cash around, you know, don't get mugged. But that's probably your best bet aside from the mugging. Credit card is going to be something that's an option, which technically should be safe. But, you know, as always, whenever you use your credit card anywhere, you know, just keep an eye on your statements, particularly if you use it at a show. And like I said, I don't think the whole FunPub thing is leaking over into this BotCon as far as credit card security. But nonetheless, personally, I don't even want to think about it. I'm just going to go cash myself. It's easier. There's less hassle. There's less me going like, man, remember that time that all that stuff happened? It's just less of a weight on my mind. I just hope that sometime, though, we could see stuff like PayPal and Amazon Checkout become options on the convention floor. Because I know the credit cards aren't an option for everyone because you have to pay extra for the connection.
Right.
Whereas, you know, folks with a data plan don't have to pay anything extra to use something web-based.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, generally try to use cash. But if you can't use cash for some reason, just be aware that your options are a bit limited.
Right.
And just please try to bring cash. Everyone likes cash. I mean, I'm almost tempted to bring some of my Canadian space money just to wave it at the Americans and try to spook them and tell them I'm from the future.
Yeah, that plastic stuff.
Yeah, see-through. Yeah. Waterproof, tear-proof, wrinkle-proof.
What denominations do they have going with that now?
Didn't they start with
100?
We got the 50? Hundreds last year. We got the 50s early this year. And by next year, the 20s, 10s, and 5s are going to be all plastic. It's going to be crazy. Yes.
I was going to ask you to bring something just to check out. But if the lowest you have is 50, don't.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Bother.
I was
if you had like ones or fives or something, hey, just
they don't have ones.
Yeah, we ditched the ones.
Coins.
But, coins.
Come next year, like if the plastic five is out, I will be bringing plastic fives with me to BotCon just to scare people. At least people who aren't from New Zealand or Australia who have all seen the stuff before and are used to it.
Are you the one I gave the $2 bill to a couple years ago?
Was it?
I gave somebody a $2 bill. Someone that wasn't from America.
I don't think it was me.
Wasn't you?
I have Canadian $2 bill. Oh. We used to have those. They were red.
I just happened to have an American $2 bill, and it was like, hey, check it out. And they were like, that's amazing. And I said, you could keep it. And they went, oh, sweet. Give it to somebody. I don't know who. But I think there's a growing population of Americans that don't even know there are $2 bills.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting. Granted, one time,
not too long ago, I had to use a $2 bill that I just happened to have because I was short on cash. And there was an instant of unsuredness from the cashier I was giving it to. I'm like, that's money. That is actually money. And then there was a time where somebody gave me a half dollar, a 50 cent piece in change.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a moment of like, really? You're dumping this on me? Somebody dumped it on you and now you're going to dump it on me?
What about the golden dollar? Is that still taboo in the States?
They still exist.
Will they shoot me in Texas if I use a golden dollar?
Oh, probably not.
Pull a gun on me? Say y'all.
What are you doing, boy? We like our dollars rectangular.
I was just going over my head what we haven't talked about yet. We have not yet talked about autograph lines, Q&As, and panels.
All right, let's do that.
And there are some new things to talk about in that. Number one, for autographs. I heard about this over Twitter, so I got Aaron to go digging for me because I'm lazy. And Aaron is, you know, helpful. So
yes, I've been accused of that once or twice.
We apparently had a bit of a, like, it looks to me like a bit of a leak. Someone was referencing volunteer paperwork, which probably was not supposed to be shared publicly quite yet. But apparently the Peter Cullen autograph lineup this year will be done through a lotto, as in names will be drawn and they will be the people who get the autograph. Now, Aaron and I have both actually come to be totally cool with this for a very similar reason. In years past, when Peter Cullen had a lineup, you often had to get there about 2 to 4 hours ahead of time.
At least.
To even have a chance of getting an autograph from him. So that was basically going to be your day, was trying to get in that lineup. And some people would try to get in that lineup and, you know, get cut off after a little while in. And basically, this lotto thing is, to me, pretty much the same. Like, now, instead of having to go wake up super early and wreck your entire day and try to get there, oh, I gotta get first line. It's just going to be like, okay, these guys can get in the line. And I bet you a couple people who get the chance to be in that line will be totally cool with passing their ticket on to someone else. Granted, I bet you some dudes are going to turn total anti-cool and try to sell their lotto ticket for like $80 or something. And they're crazy.
I would think if they're going to do it fair, they'll probably draw names and then you've got to have that name. I think if they started selling your line space, that would become a very bad thing very quickly.
Oh, it would, but this being the first year that they are potentially doing this, I'm not sure if they'd have things in place to prevent that. But basically, the Peter Cullen autograph line has historically been a ludicrous monster compared to the rest of BotCon's autograph lines. And so this year, apparently, they're going to be doing things a bit differently. I don't think it's a negative change. I don't think it's an uber positive change either. It's not like suddenly this has become the best thing ever. But I think if you compare how it used to be and how this potentially may go, you know, it sucks for the folks who are only going to BotCon to try to meet Peter Cullen, for sure. But overall, I think it's actually not for the worse. For other autograph lines, though, like outside of the craziness of the Peter Cullen one, it's usually not hard to get into. If you really want to get an autograph, it's not hard to get an autograph. And usually they let you take a picture with the person. They'll usually let you have like one or two things signed. Folks doing autographs generally are pretty cool about talking. Like, I know David Kay's going this year. David Kay loves to talk to people in the autograph line. So don't be worried. He's the coolest bro, even though I still totally turn into a little kid around him and can't function as an adult. So, you know, and in terms of etiquette in autograph lines, the one thing to try not to do, I think, is like just sort of spring a bit on them. Like, if they're signing your thing and then you suddenly just shove a camera in their face, like a flip or something, and you go like, so can you plug my website, please? You just say, tell them to go to evangelist.ca right now, please. Right. Like, they'll probably do it, but it's, you're not going to look like a cool person, and people will probably get pretty irritated with you, especially if you start trying to have like a lengthy interview with them in the middle of the autograph line. I would defer actually for some words of wisdom from Seth, because Seth has legendary powers at very casually and calmly getting guests to say things on mic in a way that does not intrude on their day.
Yeah, like usually the way I'll go about it is I try to approach people when they're not really busy.
Mm-hmm.
So like if like last year, like for example, Greg Berger had a table where he was there signing autographs and taking pictures all day, every day. When I wanted to go up to Greg and talk to him about coming on the podcast, which he so graciously did, I never went up to him when he was dealing with some people, or if there was a line getting autographs, or he was doing autographs. I go, okay, he's busy. I'll wait till later, because I'm going to be asking him for a favor.
Yeah.
And then even in other cases where I've bumped into people walking along, and talk to them, I've tried to ease into it. Like, start with like, hey, how's the show treating you? Like, hey, are you enjoying yourself? Hey, how are things are going? And then
talk to them like they're people.
Yeah, I know, it's weird. Not just be like, perform, monkey, do a dance, bit, do
it. And then David Kay like goes, all right, and he just punches you.
Well, he did that, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I could tell that story later, but and then just and instead of ambushing them and saying, do this thing for me, like, explain it. Explain what you're asking for. Or at least that's what I do. Like, I go, hey, I do this podcast. It's about Transformers. Would you be willing to... And the first year I approached anybody, it was just to get those bumpers.
Right.
It was very simple. And it was a concept that, you know, most people are familiar with. You listen to the radio, and they will have a bumper from a musician that is featured on that radio station saying like, hey, this is Metallica and you're listening to The Bone. So you know, like you hear on the radio with bands, is there any way you would be willing to do that? And then I never asked them any complicated, or I didn't make any complicated requests. I kept it as simple as possible. Like, your name, you're listening to WTF at TFW. And then I didn't ask them to do voices either. In fact, I made it okay for them to not do voices. I would say,
right.
And you don't have to do a voice if you don't want, because, you know, maybe they don't. And did, like David Kay, for example, didn't. And that was perfectly okay. Everybody else did, which means they're better people, but it's okay that David Kay didn't want to do it, and it's fine. And
there are some dudes that prefer it and some who kind of really get into it.
Yeah. Just make it okay for them to say no. Like, don't put them on the spot. Say, because you are asking them to do you a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not really going to get any reward out of it, except for, you know, being a cool dude. But it's not like they're going to make any money plugging your YouTube channel. It's more for your benefit than it is theirs. So just, you know, be gentle about it. Be nice. And if they're busy, that's fine. Like, when when I was talking to Greg Berger about coming on the show, like when he asked, well, when do you want to do this? It was whenever you want. Like, we will make time for when you're ready. And right. He said, well, because I have this table and really I have a responsibility to be at this table all day. I'm like, oh, and I never thought that we would take him away from the table. And yeah. So I was like, oh yeah, of course not. No, like
drag him like, to some back room.
Here's my cell phone. Like, you call me and we'll make it happen. And if it doesn't happen, it didn't work out.
Yeah. It's all about, like with socializing, dudes, be chill.
Yeah. And all these dudes have been super friendly and super generous with their time and really nice people. And they probably will fulfill your request. Just, you know, for their benefit, be cool about it.
Yeah. And don't get mad if something doesn't work out. That's, I think, one of the really key things. Like, this isn't necessarily the exact same situation, but, you know, last year we had an unfortunate incident where our recording with Michael McConaughey and Morgan Lofting. I almost said Morgan Freeman. That wouldn't have been correct at all.
And that would have been even more a tragedy.
Even worse. our recording with them was just a technical, not even difficulty, just a technical... like necromancy occurred and the whole thing was completely buggered and we couldn't use it. Learning experience for us all, but unfortunately that meant we lost one of our interviews and our most interesting interview from that whole thing, because that was going to be with the two folks who had not been on the podcast before at all. So that was kind of a bummer.
I felt so awful sending McConaughey and the email telling him what happened. Yeah. Oh, I felt terrible because he was doing us a favor. He was taking more time out of his day for our benefit, and it didn't work out. I still feel awful that it didn't work out.
I felt the same way emailing Morgan. Like, I felt bad because I was like, wow, like, I felt like I let them down. Especially because I was the one working the laptop. I was like, yeah, sorry, I failed to properly record your interview. That's very embarrassing.
Yeah. And, it's Bush League. Come on.
Yeah. It's awful. So, I mean, learning experience this year, I am going to make sure we have a secondary audio recording happening. Maybe not as high quality, but at least something, so that if worst case occurs, we haven't lost everything completely.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it comes to asking the guest to do things for you, just don't be intrusive and be calm about it and be nice.
Right. And I'd even say that probably applies to panel time as well, when guests have their panels.
This moves into the Q&A in panels. Q&A, now, I mean, legendary things happen in Q&A for all the wrong reasons. And Q&A at BotCon has a legendarily bad reputation of being full of crazy people. But to be honest, I find that more often than not, it actually is not all that many crazy people. At worst, it's usually just kind of boring questions. And there's nothing wrong with that, because for some people it's their first convention and they've never heard those questions before. But, you know, here's a few key rules to keep in mind, just of things that are proven not to fly. Number one, don't bring up slash fiction unless, for some reason, the guest does. I don't think any of these guests are going to. At TFCon, there's going to be Scott McNeil. I don't know what that guy's like, but maybe he'll bring it up. But don't bring up weird stuff like that, or... like, that's not going to fly. Also, like, I'm sure that you do a really good Waspinator impersonation, but the time and place to show it off might not be the Q&A session at that panel, unless maybe it's, like, completely dead. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, this is not really a BotCon thing, but, you know, it's kind of stating that you'd like to do some in-character improv with the panelist. You know, it's not the best idea. Because that'll probably turn the crowd against you, which is even worse than the panelists not being all that into what you're saying.
Right.
And also just kind of try to, and again, this is something where I can't really hold it against someone if it's innocent ignorance, but try to be aware of who you're talking to. So like if you're talking to a voice actor, asking them about why some toys haven't come out probably isn't going to work out all that well.
Right. And, even sometimes asking Hasbro guys why toys haven't come out, because we get designers, not marketing or sales.
Yeah, this is a case where I don't hold it against someone if they ask the question, because right. I always assume they don't know, because it's something that took me a couple BotCons to really learn. But the Hasbro dudes who come to BotCon, they do state what their roles are at the start of the panel, and a lot of them are designers or mm-hmm. heads of departments. Usually the guys on the panel are not PR. There's sometimes a PR person in the front row to give them a nod or a stop talking about that. But
right.
like if it, like stuff like distribution, or I think even the third party crackdown that occurred, I don't think the guys at the panel are the people responsible for those things. So, you know, don't be surprised if they can't provide you with an answer, because I really doubt they can. I'm mm-hmm. sure they are going to be prepared with an answer, because that is something that just recently happened, and you know they are very good at being prepared for those kind of questions that are likely going to come up. Third party toys have come up in the last 2 years. They have been prepared with, you know, basically a written statement about that stuff. But they are not the guys to complain to about, I can't find any toys in my local Walmart. You know, and if someone asks the question, don't give them guff for it. They might not know. But if you are listening to this and you did not know, hopefully we have, you know, giving you a heads up so you might be able to think of something more interesting to ask them.
Yeah. And pay attention to questions that have been previously asked.
Oh, well, yeah. That's always the one where you get the person who comes into the room.
Yeah.
Halfway through and goes up and says, I'm sure no one's asked this before. And they ask a question and someone in the audience goes like, I just asked that!
Yeah. That does happen. And if it happens to you, don't be super embarrassed. But if you're somebody that's been sitting in the panel or even waiting in line, and sometimes it does happen that the person just in front of you asks the same question or a very similar question, or you got your question answered in that, it's okay to just step out of line at that point. You've been waiting in line for a couple minutes, and yeah, that kind of sucks that you don't get to ask them a question. But I've seen it before where somebody's like, he just asked my question, so hold on for a minute.
Questions. Yeah. Have to, you know what? Also, I know not everyone's going to do this. I probably won't even do it either. But something I've learned, if you can actually like write your question down on a little like yes. card or something beforehand, it can really make everything run a lot better.
Right.
I'm going to say this to help out the person asking the question. If you're asking a question and it takes you a really long time to get the question out and it's gone on a few tangents while you try to explain things, by the time you finish asking the question, the dudes might have lost track of what you were asking and might not give you the answer to the question you actually had been intending to ask.
Right.
So if you can write your question down beforehand, like a lot of people don't do it, but I honestly think that would make Q&As run a lot, or you know, it would run a lot better, and it would be a better experience for both the panelist and the person asking the question.
Right.
So if you can, you know, and I'm not saying you have to, I probably won't.
Trying to think of other tips.
Wear your pants.
Don't be the fifth person to ask voice actors to act out a little sketch.
Yeah.
Which is what happened during the David K. Weird Al Yankovic panel, yeah. where it was just person after person being like, okay, now Optimus Prime and Wreck-Gar are doing a cereal commercial.
It's gonna happen.
Okay, that's not a question.
It's gonna happen right. once, and someone is gonna do the drive-through thing because, like it or not, that has become tradition. But asking more than twice, like three times, I think is already pushing it. Like they,
I think twice is pushing it.
I mean, three times I think is really pushing it. Like three times I would even recommend against. But you know, those guys do have things to say, you know, other than like, you know, dancing around and doing improv bits for you. Because the thing is, improv is not something that all actors are comfortable doing. There have right. been many times where the voice actors have said, look, I'm actually not all that good at improv. And they try to do it and it ends up falling so flat that there's just kind of this embarrassed silence.
Right.
And everyone's kind of like
Weird Al.
Yeah.
I love Weird Al, but man, he was put in some awkward situations.
That was
and I felt
09,
really
too.
Bad for him because I grew up with Weird Al Yankovic.
It's, yeah.
Oh man, I was like, oh come on.
I liked it when he was tweeting about the thing during the panel. That was fun.
Yeah. But on that topic of of requesting David K. and Weird Al to do a bunch of little sketches, that's when David K. punched me. I think it was that night was the big party at Paramount. and there was a bunch of us standing in a circle talking, and then all of a sudden there was David Kay, like, hey guys, what's up? And it's like, oh damn, David Kay is part of our little gang now. This is amazing. I don't know what to do. I know, I will request that he act out the most ridiculous sketch I could think of right now. And he laughed really hard and then gave me a shot to the arm, which sent me stumbling. And I was like, wow, David K be hella strong. Do not make David K mad.
Oh, another thing not to do. Don't say you had a really interesting conversation with a guest's daughter. That's not a good idea.
That's creepy lore.
And one other thing, this is mostly for Michelle, who was often running the lines at TFCon, and it's more applicable at smaller conventions, but it is still something I think is applicable at BotCon. Try not to, like, play with a really loud toy the entire time you're in the lineup for the Q&A. Yeah. Cause it's
you mean not everybody loves hard ratchet porn?
It's just kind of rude. Like, I know it might not seem rude to you, or, you know, because we're all at a Transformers convention, why would it be weird to be playing with a Transformer the entire time you're in the lineup? But it can really come off a little bit unpleasant, especially if you're still playing with it while you're on the mic talking to the person.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, put it down for the 5 minutes. Use those 5 minutes to rehearse in your head how you're going to ask the question or something like that. You know, or if you really need something tactile, bust out a Rubik's Cube. You're going to look way smarter if you're messing with a Rubik's Cube heading up to the Q&A.
Play with your Nintendo 3DS.
Yeah.
So turn the sound off. Be classy.
Yeah. No, how else are you going to get all those street passes?
Play some Mario Kart 7 and swear really loudly if you don't make, you know, your goal time that you wanted to make. And
while you're at the microphone. My question is, damn it! I totally lost a guy.
Thanks, David Kay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also,
Optimus Prime and Megatron. Please, we're stuck in an elevator. Go.
Please don't use the Q&A session as a makeup autograph session if you can avoid it either. It's cute once or twice, like if it's a special occasion or stuff like that.
Yeah.
But last year there were like a lot of it that I saw at last year at the Prime voice actors panel there was a lot of it, but at the last Peter Cullen panel I went to there was also a lot of it. That was a couple years ago. Just kind of like the Q&A being, can you sign this or can I get a picture with you? And it's like, sometimes it's cute, but like once the third or fourth person says it, a lot of us in the audience, and I check with people, we all sit there going like, are those honestly the people who got slots to ask questions over the people who were sent back?
Yeah.
Especially at the Prime one.
I remember when Tyrese made that surprise panel appearance.
Oh, yeah.
And they go to start taking questions, and there was one girl who was, like, beside herself. She was so excited.
Yeah.
And she was like, can I please take a picture? And I think she even said, afterwards. And he was just like, oh, come on up, we'll do it right now. And, you know, it was a nice moment, because, like, you could just tell, like, she was losing her mind. And it's like, wow, this is a memory she's going to have forever. But then that, like, slippery sloped the rest of the thing, and now everybody wanted a picture, and it was like, okay, well now you're just taking up time.
Yeah.
Maybe ask if you could get one afterwards, like she had done, and then wait till afterwards.
Like the prime panel,
he did hang around for quite a while afterwards.
He was there for ages. But I'm thinking of more recently the Prime voice actor panel. There were questions about taking pictures with stuff, and then there were questions about, can I give you paperwork for the voice acting studio I'm trying to open? And it was it actually got kind of irritating for some of us, because there were a bunch of us who lined up with the intent of asking a slightly more legitimate question of some of the guests who were there, that being like questions about the guests, not requests of services from them. And we were sent back because the lineup had already filled up, and then a large number of that lineup were folks that were kind of just, they were doing stuff that should have been done in an autograph lineup, and it kind of sucked. So,
and that's where I always
afterwards, to grab a dude if you have like a business proposition, because a Q&A line is not the place for a business proposition.
Yeah. And like I was saying, that's always when I'm sitting there. I mean, I go to panels and I enjoy them to a certain extent. I mean, some of them are old hat for me. I'm probably not going to go to another Peter Cullen panel because I've seen them and they're all just about the same. But, you know, when you see those questions, even as an audience member without a question of his own, it's like, really? Because, you know, it's only so often that you get this opportunity. And I guess for that person, there's only so often you get that opportunity as well. But there are things that just, you know, odds are they're going to be on the show floor, or there's going to be another opportunity to talk to them about this, that, or the other thing, you know. And also with the big lead up on questions, it kind of goes with, you know, write down your question beforehand. Yeah, it's really great that David Kaye's Optimus Prime changed the way that you thought about Optimus Primes forever. But if you're asking him about the work that he did as Megatron, maybe the Optimus Prime lead up isn't anything to do with anything else. You know, think about what you're going to say and make it a concise package. That way more people can get their questions in and have a better time than rambling like I am now.
Yeah, don't be like Aaron.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing about Q&A panels. There's one other main kind of panel that we should really touch on, which is the presentation panels. The big one always, of course, being the Hasbro brand panel, where, you know, for people new to BotCon, you aren't allowed to take pictures of it, and don't, because even though he's not there, I'm sure if someone does whip out a camera, Greg Lombardo will just, like, burst through the ceiling and rappel down the side of the wall just to drop kick your camera out of your hands and step on it. And then, like,
he's just going to mash Play-Doh into the lens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he'll mash Play-Doh into your face. But with those kind of presentation panels...
Play-Doh Commando. Greg Lombardo.
That's how he brings it back.
Try to resist the urge to shout stuff during the panel, because that happens a lot at the Hasbro panel. And yeah,
especially, you suck.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Yeah.
Don't do that.
like, you know, people will clap and cheer, and that's cool, but, like try to be the clever dude who starts screaming stuff at them. Like, if they show, like, a repaint, and you kind of go, like, that's a repaint! You know, like, from the back of the room. It's just going to kind of irritate people who are around you, because now there's an idiot shouting stuff sitting next to them. Like, everyone wants to be the clever guy in the room, and that's all cool, but it's not your panel, so you're just going to come off as kind of a dick more often than not.
Well, I like to be the clever guy in the room, but I at least try to keep it to a whisper.
Yeah.
That's the people that are in my direct vicinity.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they talk to the people around you, but, like, there's, you know what I mean. Like, there's always those guys who, just want to scream stuff during the presentation.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah, everybody has to know that I thought of this funny thing, and guess what? It wasn't that funny.
Yeah. So, like, just, you know, it's just common etiquette. Like, it's not your panel presentation.
It's like a big sign of disrespect, almost, if you're sitting there cracking wise, interrupting everybody else. Not just the person that's talking, but everybody else that's trying to be there for that.
Yeah, like, I suspect, like, at some point a slideshow is going to show another Bumblebee, and the audience is going to go, like, oh, and the Hasbro guys are probably going to go, like, yeah, that's another Bumblebee. But, like, there's that, and then there's being the guy who goes, like, that's another Bumblebee! You guys made another... Like, you know, don't be that guy. It's not a good kind of attention. And I honestly, I feel like the same thing is probably... It may have to be something that I would say about the Fun Pub panel, that thanks to the schedule that just came out, we know is happening right before the Hasbro panel. Like, there's going to be plenty of stuff to ask Fun Pub about, and there are probably plenty of people who are going to be feeling kind of aggro and might even get over the whole keyboard courage thing and actually be ready to, you know, hurl a lawn dart at the panelists for some reason, because they totally want to start some violence in Texas, because that's the smart thing to do. But try to, even if you have a lot of stuff to drop on their heads, the more respectfully you do it, the more seriously they will have to take it.
Yeah.
Because if the more disrespectfully you do something, the more opening you offer to people to ignore you. And if you don't want to be ignored, you got to be kind of professional. You got to at least respectful. You got to, this would be a perfect example of a panel to write something down for. You got to not stand in the back of the room, you know, screaming catcalls at them, because that just makes everyone who has something to criticize a company about look dumb.
Yeah, like, if they don't, I have to imagine that they will address the credit card situation before getting to Q&A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got to. But if they don't, and you get the chance to be the dude that then asks them about it, may I suggest, humbly, to approach it like, can you tell us what you can about the credit card situation that happened, and how, or and what steps have you or are you taking to make sure it doesn't happen again? Instead of like throwing a handful of credit cards at them and demanding answers as you pound a table with your shoe all Khrushchev style.
Yeah.
That's not going to be cool.
And if you're one of the dudes who underwent a horrific hardship because of this, like you know, a lost mortgage payment or having to pretty much alter your actual life around this credit card theft, all the more reason to not lose it when you ask the question, because that will make it all the more powerful when you say, the reason I ask is because this happened to me as a result of this. And that is why I want to know what you're doing. Because at the end of the day, a lot of us would love to have a thing like the Transformers Club around, and I think that the best way to get through to them is to not kind of get all frat boy on them. Like, you know, and I say this as someone who has plenty of criticisms that I have had of FunPub over the last couple months, and I think that, as I said, the best way to not have them listen to you is to give them really easy reasons to not listen to you.
Yeah.
Like I have what my credit card related protest that I'm going to be doing, but it doesn't involve getting in anybody's face. It doesn't even involve saying anything to anybody. It's just going to be this kind of subtle passive aggressive thing that I do. And if anybody notices, fine. If they don't even notice that I've done it, also fine. But and for me, my personal dealings with what happened and the conditions around my credit card being compromised, it really was just an inconvenience. It didn't affect my life too dramatically. But, you know, it was like a couple of weeks of, I have to go into the bank now and I have to change all these things that I pay online. I have to change now and blah, blah, blah. So it was an inconvenience more than anything. But I think I was more aggravated with how everything was handled. So, you know, my personal protest is going to be quiet. It's a quiet little passive aggressive, probably shouldn't even lower myself to that level, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, speaking for myself, at this BotCon, the last thing I want to even put into my task of things to do is go to their panel with a t-shirt launcher and shoot t-shirts into like everyone's face. That'd
be kind of awesome.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, if I could do that, maybe, if I had the money to pull that off. Okay, the last thing I want to do is
you're in line to get into the panel with a t-shirt launcher to begin with. Somebody's gonna be like, like as you're coming through there's that dude with like the 10,000 badges,
yeah.
and the giant boots. He's gonna be like, what do you got there? Just a t-shirt launcher.
It's a custom.
Well, the t-shirts. I'm cosplaying. Can't you tell I'm cosplaying?
T-shirts.
Okay, let me rephrase that to something less awesome to do. I don't want to add to my list of things to do at a convention where I'd like to have fun with friends. I do not want to add to that list bursting into their panel, screaming, "You stole everything from me," and then running up onto their table, pulling my pants down, and just dumping a load right onto their PowerPoint slide. That wouldn't for me.
Yeah.
Look, I like when people are beyond ridiculous in ways that don't harm me and they make themselves look awful. Like, it's very Schadenfreuden. I like to see people do that sort of just stupidness. What I would find more annoying, what I would find incredibly annoying is like holding up a big piece of cardboard that you wrote in magic marker some message about your credit card. Like, that mundane sort of protest would bother me way more than somebody pooping on the table. Which would be an awesome story forever.
I'm not going to lie, though. I still would prefer the t-shirt cannon.
Well, and that being said, please nobody run up there and poop on the table.
We are not in any way.
Seth tell me to do it.
Trying to, yeah, unless they're dragging the guy away. He points at Seth.
Poop on your table.
That's the one. He's the one who told me to do it. This magic computer voice that I download. The episode was called BotCon Prep. Ergo, everything they said was in preparation for BotCon. He told me to poop.
And I'll just shrug my shoulders and go,
Never heard of that guy. What are you asking me for?
No, what?
What
happened?
So yeah, I think that more or less covers everything. We've covered pooping on tables. That's pretty much
like, are you going to believe me? Or are you going to believe someone that just pooped on a table? So like, actually, we have the podcast here and we heard you say it. I'm like, are you going to believe me or somebody that listens to podcasts that talk about people pooping on tables?
I do have some serious quick hits still. Oh.
Serious pooping on table quick hits?
Yeah, no. Wow. Just some things to help out your convention experience. As
don't poop on tables?
Yeah, that too. I know we've talked about it before, but things like bring a backpack.
Yes, that's a very good idea.
If you go grocery shop and bring some plastic bags along with, or go to Toys R Us and see if you can get some of the really big bags that can press down.
To collect the poop that's on the tables.
Yeah.
I brought a cheap... I just got a cheap backpack before for the Florida one, because I knew we were going to be going to Epcot also.
Right.
I was so glad I did that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it did suck being Gunga Din at Epcot carrying everybody's water bottles, but I was so grateful to have those bottles of water on hand.
And that's good not only for, you know, like the dealer room, because you're going to be buying some things that are sizable or not fun to try and carry under an arm, but then also, you know, you could have some quick snacks in there so that you're not paying the outrageous prices of the directly on-site foodstuffs. Do we even need to talk about dress code stuff? We say it all the time.
Yeah,
you know what? It's not that hard to dress up a little bit.
Yeah, if there's a casual dress code for an event, then just go get a collared shirt and be classy. I said this last year. Everyone looks better when they're classy. So why would you not want to look classy?
Yeah.
Look classy.
And also, there are some eateries, I guess, in the area that require at least a collared shirt to eat, one of which I believe is the Hotel Steakhouse.
There's a Hotel Steakhouse?
I believe so. I refuse to
walk to a steakhouse if there's a Hotel Steakhouse.
I think that there is a upscale restaurant directly associated with the hotel. If the amenities that I'm reading about our hotel is
correct. They have filet mignon?
I would believe so if they're going to consider themselves a steakhouse.
Well, then we've solved our problem, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
We're a steakhouse. We only have sirloin.
Yeah.
We only do steak and eggs.
Oh, man. I had steak and eggs on Sunday. It was really good.
Right. Anyway. So that's the evening party is the one that's the big one for the dress code. That, yeah, it is just nicer to have everybody looking cool. Just all in all, I think we've said it a couple times, but it does bear repeating. It's okay just to start up a conversation. You know, if you see one of us, it's okay to walk over and say, hey, like what you do on the show. And if we're not terribly busy with something, we'll probably have a conversation with you for a couple minutes at the very least.
Yeah, just, you know, don't walk up from behind and like grab us or something like that and go like, oh, yeah. Because that's not cool. That's
yeah. And if it looks like we're not paying attention or trying to juggle some other things, it's probably because we're trying to juggle some other things and not because we dislike people. Unless it, well, they know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year, I had a situation like that. Dude came up to me, chatted a little bit, and I really was on my way somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was polite, talked to him for a couple minutes, and then I was like, you know, I was actually, I got to get someplace, so I'll catch you later. And I saw a little bit of disappointment, and I kind of felt a little bit bad, but I really did have to cut somewhere. I wasn't just trying to get away from the person.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, I bummed that dude out. And
yeah, you did bum me out, you jerk. But,
well, you are a chatty Cathy, and sometimes you just need to shut up. I mean, sorry to be so blunt about it, but...
If you think that people are trying to ditch you, they probably aren't. Because if people are trying to ditch you, they are so good at it, you don't even know it just happened. That just sowed the seeds of paranoia in a couple people, I'm sure. Oh, ho, ho.
But as long as it's not like the cigar outing.
Well, I mean, that was a case of a ludicrously drunk gentleman. And
that was legendary in of itself.
That was a ludicrously drunk gentleman. By the way, if you do get really drunk, you know, just be responsible and be aware that if you do get so drunk you don't even remember what happened the next day, and then you wander towards a huge crowd of people, you may turn into a story. That just yeah. That just happens. You know, it's a thing that happens. But really, no one is out to get you. Just as, I mean, it all comes down to the thing we said way back at the beginning. Just be chill. That's the main yep. thing. Be chill and say hi to people. I like saying hi to people. I am, in fact, really bad about that. Most people who have been around me now can attest. I'm awful at trying to go someplace and then stopping to talk at length to everybody who says hello. It's happened at least 4 times where people said, you need to stop talking to people because we have to go somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, that's normally my line at TFCon or something. Like, no, didn't we have to be across? Well, yeah, but he's just, I mean, it's just one guy.
Yeah.
45 minutes later, look, we just missed that panel entirely. Oh, man, I wanted to go to that panel. What the heck? Yeah, I know how you are.
Yeah, you've been there. You've been there.
And it's even more for voice actors and such when they're yeah. trying to get somewhere.
Because yeah. they're well, especially those guys, because they've got to be someplace at a certain time. It's not, you know, not yeah, like us. It's, yeah, I'd really like to see this panel. They're like, no, I'm contracted to be at this panel in 5 minutes. I gotta go.
Well, and even last year, Paul Eiding was only there for a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. And he had a little bit of time and was taking pictures and signing autographs and talking to people. But he had a recording he had to get to.
Yeah.
And there was a point where he just had to apologize and go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was when, you know, the convention was in range of where all these dudes worked. So.
Right.
And he showed up just of his own volition, I remember, just because he caught the bug and really liked conventions after his first one. And, you know, thank goodness, because he's a really cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and then he came back to hang out with us on the podcast.
Yeah.
Which was ridiculously unnecessary on his part, but
yeah.
so great. Yeah. How do you not love that guy? He's an awesome guy.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. There are some, especially now that I've been going to BotCon constantly, I've been going to TFCon constantly. Like, there are folks who I see constantly now at conventions, and I start getting kind of, like, almost like, I wonder if they think I'm, like, stalking them if I ask them to be on the podcast, like, a third time. I just don't know. I'll still ask them, but...
Well, same thing. Ask. Worst thing they can say is no and file a restraining order.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the way to approach that is to ask with the permission for them to say no, like ask in a way of like, hey, I know you've done it a couple times if you're not into it, but if you want to,
mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
But if you're not into it, it's totally cool. But if you want to,
that's how I tend to open it up. Like it's like a TFCon when I don't have Seth to run to ask, hey, can you go ask that guy if he can be on the show?
And then I'm like, don't you ever do anything for yourself, you know? Sniveling coward.
And I start having a nosebleed and run into the washroom.
Yeah.
At TFCon, usually I'll open it up. I'll just be like, hey, listen, I know if you don't have the time, it's cool. But if you do have the time, I do a podcast and I'd love to interview you if you're cool with it. And often at TFCon, in that case, I also kind of tend to go like, and I've talked to the staff and they're okay with it. So, you know, we have a space we can record in over there. If it doesn't work for you, it's all right. But if it does, let me know. Here's my card. Here's where you can call me. It's all about like being cool with it not happening. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge hurdle to get over with just getting a guest to do anything, is to be completely acceptant of the idea that they may say, I can't do that.
Yeah, and present it in a way that they don't feel bad if they right. do have to turn you down.
Yeah,
accommodate. And if they do, then just be like, totally cool, not a problem.
Yeah, and then you know, just take their business card, rip it up in their face, bite your thumb at them, and poop on their table.
Yep.
Don't do that.
Give them the double deuce. Walk away.
When just one won't do.
And
like, do it to where, like, you pop your two hands together, like your fists are up, and like you bang them together and your face go boom. That's how they know you're serious.
Also, if you have tack back, they'll know you're serious. I just have to throw it in there.
Yeah.
Obligatory.
Which I'm not bringing it this year, so
hopefully someone can bring it.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is nasty but too good.
I kind of hope somebody goes boom and hits me with the double deuce now.
Whoa.
That'd be awesome if a listener just went boom and walked away. Because I know they won't be doing it because they're pissed or anything like that. I know they're doing it because they listen to this.
Is that like the secret handshake?
Okay. Secret, if you do that, I will laugh and go, that was rad. But only if you walk away. Not if you just do it and then you hang around, then it's going to be weird. They stare at you. It's like, that was cool, right?
Did I do good?
Up until that point.
It's all or nothing. It's boom, double deuce, fists bumping against each other, walk away. Without the walk away, it's just weird.
Well, double deuces and poops on tables aside, unless we've got anything else that we really want to cover, I think we've gotten pretty comprehensive with this one.
Yep.
So, well, did we want to inform people of the DART train as a transportation?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. If you're arriving at Dallas, some folks who are not me totally found out about this thing called the DART train, which seems to be
It from Boardwise.
Okay, so it's the Europeans with all their European efficiency.
Yeah, they're used to having public mass transportation.
Yeah. So there's this thing called the DART train. I don't even think you need a URL. Just go to Google and look up DART train. It's the first thing that comes up.
Yeah.
It's just dart.org. Anyway. Yeah.
It's a really simple transit system that can get you to the convention for about $1.75, and the DART train has its own police force. FYI.
Yeah, it does. And they're Texas police, so do not mess.
Don't poop on the DART train.
No.
Except in the washroom.
Never. Not even as a joke.
Yeah.
No, but, guys, it was a joke.
I haven't looked at the schedules or the route charts or anything, but it looks from what BoardWise was telling me.
Just a couple blocks away from the downtown station.
Yeah, from what BoardWise was telling me, there's a station like right there at the airport. And it will take you to just a couple blocks away. And that is so much cheaper than any cab or shuttle is going to be.
Yeah, because shuttles are normally like, what, $30, $40? Cabs are double that, maybe.
I'm going to need to use one of those when I go back. That's going to suck. My flight's at like 6:30. So I'm probably going to be getting on the road before the DART train is running.
Well, have you looked at the schedule?
Nope, I just assume the worst case scenario.
Well, if it's a train that goes to an airport, there's probably a good chance that they're
running all the time, or most of the time.
And there's also DART On Call, your neighborhood shuttle service to shop, restaurants, and more.
Oh. If only there was a simple list of steps of how to get onto the DART train. That would make this absolutely user-friendly. Oh, well. So, yeah, there is a very simple form of transportation within Dallas. Do check it out, because the more money you can save on transit, the more money you will have to buy toys and other things.
And trains are cool.
Yeah.
you could pretend that the train is being pulled by Thomas the Tank Engine.
And you can pretend you're Mr. Conductor. Put on a little hat and everything. Just don't try to pull rank on the Dart Police, because they'll beat you up.
Oh, no. They're hardcore.
I bet you their firearms don't shoot bullets, they just shoot little darts.
That would be thematic.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
They shoot you up full of darts. Tranquilizer darts. You sit there twitching on the floor of the train. I shouldn't have screwed with the Dart Police! Ha! Ha!
That'd be awesome if they had, like, super elaborate uniforms.
Like dart helmets?
No, like with those, like the big shoulder things with the frills.
Oh, epaulets?
And like, yeah, and the rope that goes around the shoulder.
Oh, golden rope!
And stripes down their leg, like a stripe down the leg of their pants.
And hella medals
for all the dudes that they messed up for messing up the dart train.
Guys, you get that one after your eighth hobo.
And if their slogan is, if you mess with Texas, we mess with you.
Don't mess with the dart train. All right. We've got the dart train out of the way. I think that is now everything. So we should bring a cap onto this one. I think this is our longest BotCon prep. So,
is it?
Yeah. We're over 2 hours.
I thought we were going to keep it short.
Yeah, we're keeping it short. You know, we're under 3 hours.
Well, everybody's going to have a flight or a drive to listen to this and have most of our advice be past the point. But
you're welcome.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
You know, we try to help, and what do we get in return? Nothing. Poop on
double
tables.
Deuce.
That's all we do. Yeah. So we'll see you guys next week because three of us are going to be there.
Yeah.
Gog's going to be there too. A lot of TFW people are going to be there. A whole lot of just everybody's going to be there. My buddy Phil Reed from BattleGrip.com is going to be there. He's a guy who works at Steve Jackson Games, by the way. There, I just name dropped it. Now people are going to run up and pester him about Munchkin. Derek Wyatt's going to be there. I'm going to have fun going to his panel and asking him a question because I like doing that. So it should be a fun time in one way or another. I'm getting in very late night on Thursday night at 9. And I'm leaving at 6:30 on Monday, so I'm going to be there for the heart of it. But there's going to be stuff happening before I get there, most probably. And I'm looking forward to hearing about it when I arrive. So until BotCon, ladies and gentlemen, that has been myself, Aaron, and Seth Buzzard. Gentlemen, I will see you next week.
Yes.
You will.
Yeah. I might not have a nosebleed this time.
We can only hope.
And I get punched in the face. I arrive on Thursday night all bloody. Like, the Dart Police hurt me. I'm not allowed to stay in the room anymore. So, have a good BotCon if you're there. And if you're not, look forward to whatever we record while we're there to try to give you the vicarious experience. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Bring me Viacons.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.